present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in the splendid town of Harrogate in Yorkshire, where I read that as early as the 16th century, William Slingsby discovered a local spa. Visitors to the town through four centuries have been amazed by the health-giving properties of the water here. Today, of course, visitors are amazed to find that Harrogate Spa is the only source of water of any description. Without further ado, let me introduce you to our teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Willie Rushton and Jeremy Hardy. And finally, a lady ever willing to oblige when the teams are keen to score, the lovely Samantha. Okay, our first round is called Miss Tits. Is that the Queen? Patrons of the performance arts will know that nothing sells better than a good title. In idle moments, I've often pondered what the magic formula might be that makes a smash hit from a title that might otherwise be a bit of a turkey. Well, writing the words Andrew Lloyd Webber underneath certainly seems to help. Teams, I'd like you please to suggest some titles of films, shows, songs, or other entertainments likely to have been surefire flops. Graham, will you start, please?
Tales of the Expected.
No, what? Jeremy, sorry.
Seven Dwarfs for Seven Samurai.
Barry.
Death in Venice.
Willie.
Sleepless in Sheffield.
Right, this time round you can all do it in any order you like. In fact, like the last time round.
Give my regards to Broadmoor.
The Larder in Red.
Natural Born Grocers.
The remake of Marathon Man called Snickers Man.
Here you go, Lord Carrington.
Fantasy foot powder.
Gonorrhea with the winds.
That's too close to home, that.
Cattle on a hot tin roof.
Look back in Olga.
Bring me the bed of Alfredo Garcia.
Okay, that was good. It's now time for a game called One Song to the Tune of Another. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to... I wish they wouldn't put I'd like you to on this. I have to read it with a voice vibrant with sincerity. It's harder every week. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to sing the words of one well-known song of my choosing and attempt to fit them to the tune of another. You'll be accompanied on the piano by Colin Sell. You know, it's a funny thing, but even after all these years, the sound of Colin's playing still makes me want to clap. I don't think I'll bother with the punchline. Barry, would you please start by singing the words of On the Ilkley Moor Bardat to the tune of House of the Rising Sun?
must have been Sinatra, the only superstar. Where must have been Sinatra, the where must have been Sinatra, the.
Okay, Jeremy, I'd like you to sing the words of Kung Fu Fighting to the tune of Scarborough Fair.
Everybody was Kung Fu Fighting. Those cats were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with extra timing.
They were funky Chinamen from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up, they were chopping them down. The ancient Chinese art never knew their part. A fainting slip and a kick came from the head. Should we stop?
I smell points there.
Graham, I'd like you please to sing the words of Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing to the tune of Two Little Boys.
Oh, baby, now let's get down tonight. Baby, I'm hot just like an oven. I need some loving, baby. I can't hold it much longer. It's getting stronger and stronger. But I can't believe it. I'm sexual healing. Sexual healing, oh baby, makes me feel so fine. Helps to relieve my mind. Sexual healing, baby, good for me. Sexual healing is something that's good for me. Whenever blue teardrops are falling and my emotional stability is leaving me like a tube, there is something I can do at the animal hospital. I can get up and call you up, baby, say, honey, I know you'll be better relieved, cause the love you give me will be.
Finally, Willie Rushton now. Would you please sing the words of Christopher Robin is saying his prayers to the tune of one of those songs.
Little boy kneels at the foot of the bed. Look on the little hand, little gold head. Hush, hush, whisper who dares. Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. Oh, I ask this mommy, I know that's right. Wasn't it fun, fun in the bath tonight? The cold so cold and the hot so hot. Oh, God bless Daddy. I quite forgot. Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Okay, our next round is entitled Antiques Roadshow. And as you might guess, it was inspired by the popular TV show where the presenters try to make some old rubbish sound interesting while greedy punters are hoping that they've got a fortune. That's the National Lottery Live. So, teams, I'd like you please to take turns to be antiques experts and members of the public who brought along an object that they'd like the experts to identify and value. However, only the punters will know what they brought along. The experts should ask them questions in order to help them identify the objects and so value them. Right. And you're going to be our first experts, Barry and Graham. Willie and Jeremy, you're the punters. Have you brought your object with you?
We have indeed, Humphrey.
Thank you. Good. So we can continue. Now, for the benefit of our theatre audience, the identity of Willie and Jeremy's object will now be displayed via the megabyte magic of the giant's internet-linked laser display board. So generously funded by the BBC. And here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Judith Chalmers. Judith Chalmers.
Okay, well, will you start questioning there, Barry and Graham?
Well, this is an old friend, isn't it? We've seen one of these before.
Certainly have.
Yes, you have, Barry. My word.
So, well, we don't see one as unusually built as this.
It's well stacked, we always say.
We try and polish the rivets and the leather as regularly as possible.
Can I, rivets, can I look at the bottom for a moment?
Was it one of a pair?
No, thankfully not.
No. There wouldn't be room in our tiny abode, I fear.
Then. And where do you keep it?
Bobbing around in the sea in tropical islands, mainly. It travels very well and for free.
You see a lot of these on holiday, don't you? On
you do, yes.
Is this one of the Chalmers collection?
It is indeed.
Well done. Now, which one?
No, that's it. It is a 20th century Judith Chalmers. Very well done. You've done
it. And would you like to...
How much do you have it insured for?
Ah. Would you like to value it?
It's almost priceless.
Well, my grandfather's been using it as a doorstop for many years.
It's changed colour through the years as well, I don't know.
Okay, well now, wait a minute, hang on. I fell asleep during that one.
We'll go for a walk later.
It's your turn. It's your turn to be experts now, Jeremy and Willie and Barry and Graham. I hope you've brought your object with you.
We have.
Its identity is now being broadcast to our audience via the laser display, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Jimmy Savile. Jimmy Savile.
Okay, Jeremy and Willie, start questioning.
That big, is it? It's not the biggest of its kind. I've seen bigger models than this, but sterling stuff. One of the older models, in fact.
If it wasn't for this very slight crack, it would be worth considerably more. As it is, it's a worthless piece of crap. I'm sorry.
We're very fond of it for sentimental reasons.
Yes,
And reasons of insanity, really, aren't we?
Yes, indeed.
And have you any idea what it was originally used for?
No idea what it's for at all.
We'd like to tell you.
It used to decorate ballrooms years ago.
How did your great-uncle come upon it?
Was he a tall man?
I think he found it stuffed down the side of an armchair.
No, I think that was your aunt, I think.
Have you ever used it yourselves?
Not in the sense of used.
We've sat and watched it now and again, wondering why.
It's like Everest. You watch it because it's there.
No, you climb it because it's there.
No, it's nothing to do with climbing. Oh, I wouldn't mislead you. No.
Seems foolish to mention Everest in the same breath as not climbing.
I'm getting rather worried about my gig in Howl on Thursday. Can you hurry it along, please?
It's a Yorkshire piece.
A Yorkshire piece.
Yes.
But
I don't think you're going to get it, are you? Oh, are you?
We're...
I've given up, quite frankly. I just like listening to them. I'm watching them now.
Can we answer some questions about gardening or something instead?
I've got a clue for you here. I think I'm the... And the clue is Jimmy Savile. It's now time... Oh, incidentally, I should tell you that while this has been going on, Samantha's been out busily scoring. But she's back now and she tells me that everything's very evenly poised. Time now for a round entitled Notes and Queries, a totally original game, or My Name's Not Peter Hobday. This is a round which, in fact, we borrowed from the Guardian newspaper. Well, they do say that imitation is the sincerest form of theft. Right, teams, pulling your considerable knowledge, I'd like you please to provide the answers to these genuine queries. The first one is for you, Barry.
Yes.
Why do ducks fly in V formation?
Well, this is not generally known. They are dyslexic. They once tried to fly in an X formation and kept crashing into each other.
It's my job in this round to tell the audience what the actual explanation is, and this is the true definition. It's because the most aerodynamic form of flight is in V formation. Air passing through the duck's wings creates a backdraft which aids the flight of the birds following behind.
And you think we're dull.
It's not a formation terribly popular with skunks. Well, Willie, one for you now. If the gents is closed, is there anything from stopping me nipping into the ladies?
Yes.
Euro regulation CP4539-7277B, which states in the event of closure of gentlemen's lavatory, you may only evacuate in your hat and urinate on the rear offside leg of a Belgian.
Well, I must tell you that according to Guardian reader Rachel Meir of Leicester, there'll be a queue in the ladies, so don't bother.
And the graffiti is much neater in there. Well, it would be. They've got hands free.
Jeremy. Jeremy, I've got one for you here. Mm-hmm. Why did men start shaving?
Because people kept thinking they were folk singers.
Well, apparently, it's so that an enemy soldier couldn't gain the advantage by grabbing his opponent by the beard. Graham, why do washing machines have windows?
It's for the cat to see out of.
Well, the real answer is not one which would occur to most people. It's so that you can look inside them without soapy water spilling over the floor. We now come to an old favourite called Cheddar Gorge. It's a game of words in which each player tries his best never to complete a sentence. The winner will meet Nick Leeson in the final. In this round, teams, I'd like you each to utter a word drawn from the murky depths of your subconscious in order to make up a sentence. The object is not to complete the sentence. However, to complicate matters unnecessarily, I'd like you each to include a special word indigenous to the county of Yorkshire. And these are, Barry, champion. Graham, yours is knout. Jeremy, yours is boycott. Willie, yours is standpipe. Okay, Barry, will you start, please?
I
once
went
to
a
very,
very
nice,
salubrious,
yet
somehow
vile
and
nauseous
part
of
the
old
world
called
inner...
And?
Basildon.
But, nevertheless...
I... Oh. I'm too keen.
I was...
Knout. Foot.
Champion.
Standpipe.
Crying.
Boycott.
Now, the next round is called Police Microphone Action. It's based on the TV program which shows special security film revealing how the police do such an efficient job at bringing felons to justice. You notice that we've changed the title slightly. For some reason, they didn't like You've Been Framed. But then who does? In a moment, teams, in a moment, Samantha will play in for you some revealing sound recordings of various police and criminal activity, and I'd like you, please, to identify the nature of this activity for us. And Barry, you're the first one to go, and the first recording is for you to identify.
Hello, dearie.
Guten Abend, Liebchen.
How are you, then?
Guten Abend, Liebchen.
That's Michael Schumacher curb crawling.
One for you to identify now, Jeremy.
That must be a ram raid.
Finally, Graham, can you tell us what's happening here, please?
That's a criminal record for start. I think that was the Thames Valley Police Christmas party. They're all clapping along and proving that we need more bobbies on the beat.
Right. Now, our next round is a musical one entitled Swanee Kazoo. There can be few couplings more exquisite than the combination of the ethereal trill of the Swanee whistle with the heady rasp of the kazoo. In fact, I don't think there's ever been such a sublime coupling since Geoffrey Archer met writer's block. Now, teams, in this round, I'd like you please to perform a duet of my choosing on these two fine instruments. You'll be accompanied on the piano by Colin Sell. Incidentally, Colin has been showing me some of the many adoring letters he receives from rock fans. Here's just one of them. Dear Colin, my favorite is granite. What's yours? Right, Barry and Graham, you're to start. I'd like you to provide a rendition of Let's Call the Whole Thing Off, and it's to feature Barry Cryer on kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee whistle.
Thank you.
Your turn now, Jeremy and Willie, and I'd like you, please, to provide a rendition of Anything You Can Do, and it's to feature Willie Rushton on kazoo and Jeremy Hardy on the Swanee Whistle. They do say you should always quit while you're ahead. But as we can't be here all night, we might as well pack up now. Before we do, teams, there's just time, I think, to play one last game called Newsagent's Songbook. So while Samantha pops out to enjoy a large pull-out supplement, I'd like you, teams... I'd like you, teams, to suggest some titles of songs likely to prove popular with an audience of newsagents. Anybody can start.
Oh, how about Never on a Sunday Times?
Horse and Hound Dog.
How to Handle a Woman's Own.
Come into the Guardian, Lord.
Drink to Men Only with Thine Eyes.
Hello, Dolly Telegraph.
People are either people, are the muckiest people.
Penthouse of the Rising Sun.
Hit the Road, Jackie.
Someday my sport will come.
I left Exchange and Mart in San Francisco.
The sun will come out tomorrow, unfortunately.
New words for the red flag. The people's friend is hardly read except by those who are partly dead.
Well, ladies and gentlemen...
Washington Postman Pat.
Well, as the sandcastles of destiny are being washed away by the incoming tide of time, it's clear that the grim deck chair attendants are doomed. So we better say goodbye for now. Join us again at the same time next week. In the meantime, from Samantha, the teams, and myself, goodbye.
Harry Cryer, Graham Garden, Willie Rushton and Jeremy Hardy were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith. And if you